title of this sermon is called Remember to Remember. And I've been listening to Shad. He put out his album this last week. So I thought, hey, Mike, can I have your hat for 1 second? I'll start with a little rap. He's a rapper, okay? Anybody have a gold chain? No? This is part of the line. Are you ready for this? I'm not a rapper, okay? This is what he says. Remember to remember. He says, woke up one morning, started talking to pops. He said, there's lots that you learned, but a lot you forgot. More often than not, you don't got to be taught. Just remember to remember how you got to the spot. Amen? That's good. That's remember to remember. So I love that. He says, there's lots you learned, but there's a lot you forgot. More often than not, you don't got to be taught. Just remember to remember how you got to this spot. That's powerful right there. So we're going to be opening up to Colossians today, if you have your Bibles or your e-Bibles. And I'm going to hit Colossians 2:8. That was kind of my rap word. I'm going to hit it. All right, so Colossians 2, verse 8. So this is Paul writing to people, and he says, remember, okay? So he's saying, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. He says there's going to be a lot of people, even maybe people you trust, people with good intentions. They're going to give you new philosophies. This is the way it is. If it ever strays from the fundamental of Christ, he said, don't let it take you captive. Okay, verse 9. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. That's powerful right there. I love this. I just reheard this from my brother, Connor Schramm, if you're listening. I love you, bro. I love you. If he's listening, sorry about that. But verse 9, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. So we're picturing the Trinity, right? We're picturing God, all of God. It says, in Christ all the fullness of the deity lived in him. That's powerful right there. So remember that. Verse 10, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. Can we say that all together? Verse 10. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. That's enough to just be like, what? So Christ is in me, and I've been brought to fullness. We're going to hit back at that. He is the head of every power and authority. And in him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. 12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Wow. So remember to remember. We are seated with Christ. How many have heard that 100 times? It says, verse 10, in Christ you have been brought to fullness. You know what? Christ came. You know, we read that story about Jesus when he said, it is finished. And then the sky goes black and crazy, and the veil is ripped from top to bottom. He said, like, man, there used to be like this little place called the Holy of Holies. Guess what? Boom! Everywhere is the Holy of Holies. We can access them anywhere. Do you know what the Holy of Holies is like? That's just like, here's the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ is like, I'm bringing you into the fullness. He like hugs you in. Now, we're not the fourth part of the Trinity, but he is just bringing us so close. That's what it's all about. In Christ. You know what it says? He is the head. We are the body. Have you heard that before? That means we're connected. That's not the head is off in heaven. Thousands of galaxies. Or however you want to picture heaven, if you picture far away, I don't know. But anyways, and then here's the body, no head. No, we are connected to Christ. That's kind of cool, right? The other thing that's really cool about we are the body, when we get together, guess what? God gets together. It's like a party. Okay, so remember to remember. Here's another thing. So we're picturing God. It says, let us make man in our image. Remember that? That's Jesus, the Father, Holy Spirit. They're up in heaven creating us. He said, let us make man in our image. Isn't that good? Jesus comes as a man. Did he have any DNA of Mary? No, he would be fallen. So he is a perfect being come to earth. And guess what he looks like? He looks like a man. Oh, that's a shocker. Okay, so we're made in his image, and when he comes, he looks like us. I mean, it's fascinating to think when you go look in the mirror, guess what? You are like God's self-portrait. It's just like we get to like be so close, and he's like, oh, they fell away. Now what am I going to do? No, it wasn't like that. The whole plan was Jesus is coming to redeem so that we can be brought back into the fullness. Just picture that. Picture a father hug. Picture the prodigal son just returns, and the father just says, he runs to the father. You've seen that? But then the big embrace. I'm believing like that. Embrace. Just picture that all the time. You're not far from God. He's right here with you. He's no further than your nose. Even if you have a large schnoz like me, he's a little further away from me than maybe somebody with a small nose. That's just a joke. In Christ complete, he came to restore humanity to fullness. So we're going to read 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. If you want to flip there, it says, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. That's a fun version. I don't know what version I have, but it says, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. It's that same type thing, beholding as in a mirror. I just love that imagery. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in us. The same image of God is us. Isn't that powerful? Christ didn't just like, he doesn't think it's too much. He doesn't think that it's too big a thing that he can't share the exact same Holy Spirit that he had. Sometimes we sing those songs like, holy, 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 and those are beautiful. Or, you are glorious. But if you're not careful, you might sing, you are glorious, I'm not that glorious. Like, you keep making those little distinctions. You are holy, and I'm a dirtbag. But you... Those things are like beautiful songs that we just worship even around the throne. Those angels are singing, holy, holy, holy. But they're not saying, I'm worthless, 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 you know? And we are made. We get to judge the angels on the last day. Powerful. He doesn't have an inferior complex. He is comfortable with giving you the same measure of the Holy Spirit that he carried. So, here's a question. Who am I to say what he has made complete is incomplete? Like, that's a powerful statement. Who am I to say what he has made complete is incomplete? He doesn't minimize because he gives you the same measure of Holy Spirit. It's his joy. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I wonder why the verse doesn't say it's Christ in the Bible, hope of glory. Christ in the history books, hope of glory. There's something about Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. So just picture that. You are as close as you can be to the Trinity right now. You don't have to fast and pray and you get a little closer. No, you're as close as you can be. He has enveloped you in himself. You are seated with Christ. This relationship doesn't begin at death unless you want it to. Like, people always think, I can't wait to glory. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. It's just, we sing songs that are like so beautiful. But it's just, we have to make sure that we say, soon and very soon, we are going to see. And the other verses, Not really right now. I just can't quite see the king. Like, you know what I'm saying, right? We can see the king right now. If we want it, we can access it now. Beautiful. So other times in the Bible, we hear God talking about the marriage. I love this idea. I just had this idea this week, and I was just like in the worship, and it just went boom. You know, the marriage supper of the Lamb, did you know that we get to be part of the planning committee? I just had this revelation last night, or 2 days ago. We get to be the inviters to the marriage supper of the Lamb, the last day, the banquet. That's what we get to be part of. Jesus didn't just like leave us and say, I'll see you later. He's like, no, let's start planning this party. Start planning it now. He's like, go out to the highways and the byways and invite anybody who wants to come to this party. All these people who thought that they had done X, Y, Z, and now they're part of this party might not be it. But those that just have that humble heart that will just accept Christ, accept what he's done, they get to be part of the party. It's so good. Whew, okay. So let's just say this. I am enveloped in the actual body of Christ. In the actual body of Christ. When we get together, he gets together. That's good. God doesn't dwell in mountains, hills, or stone. He dwells in us. So just that picture again of the father, or sorry, not the father, the bride and the bridegroom. Picture us as that bride. I just love this picture. I feel like worship is just so much like this. Just like, God, I love you. And just like, Brock, I love you. There's worship. Now you sing all these songs and they're glorious and majestic, but I feel like one of those things that God just loves to hear is just the way I love my wife. It's not like sometimes, have you heard that song? And I'm desperate for you. It's just the, huh? And I always love you. That's good. That is funny. But then I threw the, anyways. So that is a beautiful song and it has its place. But just like, it's just like that same thing. I don't say that to Ange, right? I don't go, babe, I'm desperate for, I just come in. I just say, hey, babe, I love you. Do you know what I'm saying? The same thing with the Father. We can sing those songs. I'm desperate, as long as you're not saying, because I'm so far away from you. I'm so desperate. So there's just important things that as you sing songs, you don't just start getting. Like, that's what Paul's saying. Okay, don't get these weird philosophies that you're somehow far from Christ. He said in that verse 10, he said, you have been brought into fullness in Christ. That's boom. All right, so let's talk about grace. This is a quote. I wish I remember who said it, but I can't right now. It says, grace is the celebration of life, relentlessly hounding all the non-celebrants in the world. It is a bash shouting its way through the streets of the universe, pounding on every door and window in a hilarity beyond all liking and happening, until the prodigals come out at last and dance, and the elder brothers finally take their fingers out of their ears. I love that. Man, when you realize how close you are to God, what grace he's given you. He's shown you mercy. He's shown, man, I messed up. He gives you mercy. But then he says, I'm giving you grace so you can even come closer and be more who you were destined to be. Now, I even said come closer. That's a weird thought. Anyways, you're already close enough, but you know what I'm saying. It's hard to, like, just break old habits. Anyways. So life and passion, hope and joy, and a party because the king came for us. That's a good time for amen. Amen. There's something in it for us. This is who God has called us to be, partiers. We party, we bang on windows, we bang on doors in a hilarity, and we are just inviting anyone who would come to the marriage supper of the Lamb, who would come to know Jesus. Amen. I'm trying to remember what this one preacher said this weekend about, he's talking about seeds. He said, anytime you go and you just share Jesus with somebody, it doesn't matter if they just completely disregard you. Just like, I don't want to hear about that. Sometimes you might even get a little bit of a punch in the face. I don't want to hear about that. He's talking about seed time and harvest time, right? He's talking about the seed that just got planted by that person, you know? It was DeMarco. I can't remember his first name right now, but Jordan DeMarco. He's talking about that. It's too late. I dropped the seed. Someone's going to combine that soon. You can't help it. The seed's been planted. Like, it's supposed to just be a party. It's supposed to be like, man, the huge thing is a testimony. Man, you just tell people about how you met God. I feel like that's the same thing. Like the angels are like, he's about to share the story. And they're just all around just like, hoo, 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 hoo. And then, when I was 16, da, 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 I was in a worship service. I feel like I need a, bah, bah, bah. And then the Lord met me. Bah, bah, bah. I was on my knees crying like a baby. But then I got up from that place and I went to my friend and I said, hey man, let's just go like walk around the streets and tell people about Jesus. You know that feeling? Like, I met him. I finally met him. I'd gone to church my whole life. In grade 10, I finally just connected some dots. I love that. So every time you just share your testimony, it's that easy. Man, I don't know if I can share Jesus with people. Oh man, can I share this other DeMarco thing he said? It was so funny. He said, when we're little, we sing, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. We're all so happy, right? This little light of mine. And then we get to about elementary school, and it's like, be careful about that light of yours. It might offend some people. It's such a funny thing to say. And then you're like, don't share Jesus at work. Keep that little light hidden. But like, I thought that was so good. Why don't we just keep it simple to those simple songs? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Isn't that beautiful? Why don't we just go to our neighbors and just tell them what God did for us? Just plant a seed and just, in a loving way, don't just walk up with a track and just, yo, I got a couple thousand in my backpack of these. Thought you should have one. No. Tracks have their place too. I mean, lots of people get saved off that too. But I'm just saying, why don't we start with just having a conversation, eh? Maybe buy somebody a coffee. He came to set us free. He came to envelop us in himself. He doesn't call us just to manage, just to have this little bit of life. But the thing is, like, joy and sorrow are about, like, this far apart, right? In life, we can go, whoa, whoa, like it's always just this close. But he makes it possible to be all around sorrow, but manifest joy. Like that's part of what being in Christ. You can be in a circumstance, but guess what? He makes it possible for that little light to start burning, little light to start shining. Hallelujah. He gives us what he needs, what we need, what he needs. Wholeness. Wholeness is not just the absence of brokenness, but a growing surrender to the love of Jesus Christ. So I love that. Man, this weekend was awesome. Just 27 hours of worship, and it was just an awesome thing because you just start to have another realization how much I need him. Daily, I need him. I need his presence. Sometimes we sing that, I'm a lover of your presence. I'm like, oh, I just love to be around you, Jesus. Like, really, I do. Sometimes I just want to sing that instead of the phrase, I just love to be with you, Jesus. But anyways, it doesn't matter. Personal preference. But, man, there's just something about being around Jesus. When he's at the forefront of my life rather than the background, you know? How many times you're about to make a decision in your life and he's in the background and you make these decisions and you could just hear his little voice, the still small, I didn't ask you to do that. Don't be surprised when that blows up. You know? Don't be surprised when your wife's mad at you because you're working all the time. But sometimes when he's at the forefront, you know, you worship him, you spend time with him, he's up there in front of you. You make decisions a little bit different, right? Oh, maybe I won't take that path. Man, that's the thing about Jesus. You know, you read about Jesus. There's tons of verses that he was on his way to Jerusalem. He was on his way to the cross. We know this about Jesus, right? He lived with a plan. He wasn't a person that was constantly like frazzled, like stressed. Like you don't hear him go to Peter, "Peter, we're late. Like, get the donkeys. You know, no, donkeys won't do. Get the horses. Peter, where are the horses? We don't have horses in this part of the world right now. We're going to be late." We don't hear Jesus talking like that. We don't see Jesus texting in traffic. You know, we just... You just see him walk up to like people to like, "Sorry, we're late, Peter." He just like looks back at Peter. "Couldn't find any horses." "Peter, horses." It's like, "Mom, meatloaf." Anyways. Oh man, that's funny. But we see Jesus constantly just, he's on his way to Jerusalem, right? He'll walk past the pool, bunch of people hurting. But yet, he's on his way. I don't know how fast that healing was with that one guy. I just think he was just like, he just played for the one guy at the pool. He said, don't talk to anybody about this. My time hasn't come yet. Like, I don't know exactly how it went. But there's a time where people could have got really offended with Jesus. You healed one guy? There was 100 other sick people there, Jesus. You know what? He's like, sometimes you have to say no to good things to say yes to a great thing, right? So he has to sometimes walk by. He's like, "Oh, you're offended. Sorry, I'm on my way to Jerusalem. I have a purpose. I'm going to give my life for these people." Man, I love it. I think it was Pilate that was talking to Jesus. And no, it was the high priest that was talking to Jesus. And he says, like, "Are you the Christ?" And he gives him like this huge statement about like how the Son of Man is going to come on the clouds. Like he's just, he doesn't shy away like, "Do what you're going to do." But like he kind of is like, he's straight up to the high priest. He's just like, "Do you say you're God?" He's like, "I'm going to rise from the dead." Like he doesn't just stop his purpose. He's like, "I'm going to the cross and I'm making it happen right now by telling you what I'm telling you." The high priest did not like that, but he had a purpose, lived with purpose. So we can be pulled in 100,000 different ways. There's like Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Come on, just shout them out. Pinterest out. Come on. Google Plus. Nexopia. What's some weird blog sites? MySpace, maybe. Hundreds of thousands of ways. Some of you are on some of them. Some of you are on all of them. And we can pray for your brokenness today. but seriously, are we going to those things or engaging those things out of brokenness or longing for relationship and acknowledgement or because we're trying to look like them? Is there anything like that? Just asking because I tried to take like a month-long fast from media because I started to realize it kind of feels sometimes like a little bit of sludge. Like I go to the media sometimes or the TV for life and I find I actually feel like this is sucking the life out of me. There's things they're talking about that are so black. It's just like my ears aren't garbage cans. Have you heard that before? Why do we treat it like garbage cans? I'll sit through that. I'll close my eyes for that scene. Like, you know what I'm saying? We do stuff like that. We think we find life in those things, but it kind of just, it was wearing me down, so that's why I took a break for a while. I do enjoy just having a nice movie with my wife, though. That's nice. But this is what Jesus says. If anyone would come after me, he must come to the cross. He said, "There is life. Give up on that mess and follow me." Do you want to have life? Come be next to me. These are the things Jesus is saying. So to pursue the way of Jesus, you have to say no to good things because you've said yes to the great thing. That's beautiful. Yeah. I just want to read this part. Embrace the fact I can't do it all, and that's wonderful. I can't do everything. I can't save everybody. I can't minister to everybody, and I don't need to. I need to do what he's called me to do, what he's called me to do, where I can, and it's enough. I feel like as I talk about following Jesus, sometimes people get it. It's almost overwhelming. It feels like, oh, that's too much. We almost look like it, at it like it's a job. Oh, I have to serve Jesus. What does he say? He calls us to be servants. Do you know that? The greatest of all, be the servant of all. But then there's sometimes it's like following Jesus. Oh, this job sucks. I don't get paid either. I'm a volunteer for Jesus. But I'm just talking about do what you can, okay? And have time for rest. Man, rest is just as important as doing, right? Now, this is what I want to preach about, but we need to find times of rest. Some of us are working really hard, 16-hour days. Take some rest, okay? Okay. Yeah, Mike, sure. You looking at me? Are you looking at me? Yeah, you don't need to look like so-and-so. You don't need to have things like so-and-so. You don't need to work around the clock nonstop. He calls us to live free from worry. Do you know, I'm not sure, this is what I was thinking about last night. Worry comes from guilt. Now, I might talk to a psychology person, that's not true. But I feel like worry comes from this guilt place, like, I'm not doing enough. Oh, things aren't going to happen. I'm not who I'm supposed to be. I'm not keeping up. And I think that guilt, like, oh, I'm not as good as this person. I feel like worry kind of sneaks in there. But he called you to live free of that. Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. We sang about that lots this week. There's a rest from the fight. There's a place of abiding in the vine. That's a beautiful thing. Jesus always just says, hey, you're complete in me. Quit striving all the time. Quit running around aimless. Twitter me. Yeah, anyways. He expects the fruit from our life. Inside joke on that last one. He expects fruit from our life, but what does he say? If you abide in me, in the vine, guess what? Fruit happens. So just think that through. Step one, abide. Step two, fruit. Step one, abide. Step two, fruit. So just, we got to be careful. Get some rest in there. Spend some time with the Lord. Then the fruit will happen. Don't just always constantly, Jesus in the background, I'm serving you, Jesus. You're a little bit of dirt from your shoes is coming up at him. He's like, hey, why don't you spend some time with me? We can do this together. Ooh, I like that. Hand in hand, arm on arm, just let's do this together. Two are better than one. Okay, I can just preach on those little tiny things forever. I'd love to just, I'll call up the band now. That'd be awesome. So just a simple thing. If you've said no to something, it's because you've said yes to a great thing. There's a good reminder. So many Christians can be so broken because we're running around so much, serving everybody, ministering to everybody, and we don't realize we need ministering to ourselves. And there's a place that we can come and we can just rest in knowing that we are complete in him. We can abide in him. We can have, that's where the life is going to come from. Are you here with me this morning? That's where the life is. We are complete in him. It's so awesome. You don't have to feel like you're a child, just wayward. You got to just picture, just like right here in the middle. We got little Samuel being held by Elizabeth, just in the arms, safe. That's like us, guys. We are safe, but just abide in his love. I asked this one pastor, he was about 60, maybe 70, and I just, you know how sometimes you soak up from ministers? What's the one thing you've learned, like, that just helped you through everything? Or one verse that, and he's like, he said that, it's the same passage as the Bible. He says, that verse, apart from me, you can do nothing. Man, even if I give my body for the poor, if I live in a cardboard box, if I do all these things, but I have not love, it's nothing, right? Apart from him, we can do nothing. It's beautiful. So can we pray this morning? If you guys just want to bow your heads, I don't know, you can pray with your eyes open too. There's this quote that says, Jesus, our hearts are restless until we can find rest in you. God, would you just make us aware of our limits? God, just the place where things are feeling like we're running ahead of you, God. Would you notice those places, God, and call us back. Call us back into the fold. Call us back to remain in you, to abide in you, to be close with you, to acknowledge and believe that we are enveloped in your love. God, we don't want to just run aimlessly. We want to walk with you, hand in hand, arm in arm, God. God, forgive us when we've thought of serving you as a job rather than a joy. Rather than, it's a joy to serve alongside of you, Jesus. It's a joy. We get to invite people to the marriage. We get to invite. We're the inviters to the kingdom, God. God, I just pray that our hearts, from wherever we go from this morning, and as, even as we gather on Sunday morning, God, that our question is not how can I just sit through this thing or how can I just coast through life, but God, we would ask the question, how can I best lift up Jesus? Every Sunday morning, God, as we gather, let us all just ask the same question. How can I best lift up Jesus? Because we love you, Jesus. We want to see your plan, the plan you have for our church, the plan for you have for our lives individually as well, God. We want to be able to walk with you. You're the light to our path, Jesus, so we commit to walk with you. You are the light. You are the truth. You are the way. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So wouldn't you just stand with me? Stress and anxiety and brokenness, all these things. In the name of Jesus, we command you to go. And we just speak peace over the people of God. We speak hope over these people. We speak love over the people of God in this place right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. You've called us to live free, so we want to live from that place. Hallelujah. Can we sing together this morning? Hallelujah.